because of what I've seen.
Have any of you guys ever done that? I've looked out at people and been like, oh, like, at least I'm not that. At least I'm not like that. At least I don't feel like that. At least I don't look like that from the outside. I've looked at people and I have this feeling, it crawls up inside of me, you know? It just kind of crawls up and comes out of me, and it's this kind of like, I just feel like I'm better than that person. Do you guys ever feel that? You ever had that feeling? It just kind of crawls out of you. You don't even know where it comes from, and it's just kind of crawling out from the inside. I realize this doesn't make me look very good. However, it's true, isn't it? But the truth is how you see others reveals how you view yourself. How you see others reveals how you view yourself. Well, we're going to be starting a new series here at Christian Life Fellowship, and it's called, And Now for Something Completely Different. And if any of you remember from a long time ago, there was a TV show that used this reference quite well. It was the old Monty Python. And the reason we're doing it is because we want to talk about something that's completely different. That is, what we're doing is we're trying to attach ourselves to stuff that is completely different. And what I mean by that is the things that we believe versus the things that what God has said are true, or Jesus has said are true. We're going to be talking about the differences between kind of our belief system and how we've kind of seen things and what Jesus says and what he's done through the cross, what he's done for us through the cross, and how he's blessed us and how he's released us and how he just simply cares for us. And so we're going to be looking at some of these dramatic differences, these far apart things that seem like they're totally completely different, and yet they are so unique and important for us to understand truth. And today, the thing we're going to be talking about is how you see others and how you perceive others and how you look at others. It really truly reveals how you actually view yourself. Now, I don't struggle with this as much anymore, judging people as I have in the past, partly because it's part of our faith journey. As we continue to grow in Christ, we continue to reshape how we see other people. But I have struggled in the past judging people, because I did really think that I was better. I really did. I can distinctly remember being 18 or 19 years old, and I mean, I know that's the age of any young man in their prime of their life where they know absolutely everything, and then somehow we get dumber as we age. And I remember just feeling like I knew everything. I knew how to solve everybody's problems. I knew how to fix everything. And I would judge other people based on what I thought was correct or true or right. Have you ever done that? Have you ever looked at somebody and decided that your character flaws weren't as bad because of what you were seeing? Everything's relative, right? Have you ever done that? Have you ever, like, looked at another person in another situation and just said, "Whoo, thank you, Jesus"? Well, I'd like to make a statement, and it's simply this. That when we do that, I truly believe the reason we do it is because we don't understand our true identity in Jesus Christ. When we look at someone and we pass judgment upon them that isn't godly judgment, it's because that area in our own life has yet to receive the grace of Jesus Christ. That area of our life has yet to be reborn in our mind. Romans talks about how we're to be constantly renewed in our mind. Our mind is to be constantly renewed. And some of you, I'm sure, are remembering that classic statement, you know, don't criticize someone until you walked a mile in their shoes, right? For most of us, I really feel like we tag this on, which is simply, well, then I'd be a mile away from them and I'd have their shoes. We feel like that's the easiest way for us to get around these situations. So I want to go a little bit backwards here now, because I really feel that for us to understand that how we view others reveals how we view ourselves, we kind of have to know who we are. We kind of have to know what Jesus has done for us. So we're going to go to Galatians this morning. And we're just going to camp here for a little while. And so let's read the scripture together. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, Jesus Christ, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons. God has sent his spirit of his son into our hearts. And the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father, so that you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. Now, it seems pretty simple and straightforward. Most of us would say, oh, yeah, I believe that. I believe that's true. And then we would walk out of the door and look at somebody else and be like, wow, look at that person. Can you believe them? Look how they're dressed. Look how they present themselves. Look how they identify themselves. They just must be terrible people. And so let's dissect this so that we can fully understand who we are. Because when we fully understand who we are, it's much easier for us to look with grace and for hope to redeem those around us. But when the set time had fully come, now today is Palm Sunday, and I'm going to chat a little bit more about that with you guys in a minute. But when the set time had fully come, Jesus is born. I mean, every year we celebrate December 25th. Woohoo, Jesus is born. We all get all excited. The kids sing some awesome Christmas songs. But really, there was prophecy upon prophecy of where Jesus was going to be born, kind of roughly the time he was going to be born, like all of it. And not just from like one time frame where people were basically feeding off each other. Like from the very beginning, from Genesis, Jesus' birth was spoken all the way up until like basically right before he was born, about 400 years before he was born. So not right before, I guess. close to before Jesus was born. But they all pointed to the same spot. And it's really important for us to kind of capture that. Because I know we often see these, and the set time had fully come, and it's just kind of an added in, kind of into the scripture, that makes sense. But it's not really what we're looking at. We're looking at the other cool stuff, and, you know, adoption to sonship, and, you know, no longer slaves, but children of God. But it's so important for us to understand that God has done everything in his set time. And when it comes to our identity and understanding who we are in Jesus Christ, God is doing everything in his set time. Meaning that he loves you right where you're at. And he's not waiting for you to be perfect. He wants to use you now. Because it is your set time currently. And God sent his son. Of course, we know Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. And he was born under the Mosaic law. And so God sent Jesus Christ. He was born under the law, born of a virgin. And often people have referred to the law, born under the law, the Mosaic law, that no longer applies to us. And there's some truth, there's truth to that. What we're talking about, though, is it's both the written law, what Moses wrote down, and the moral law. Meaning this applies to you. So don't think it doesn't apply to you. Because when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born under the law, both the moral law and the written law, the moral law being kind of the law of morality, to redeem those under the law. You and I have been redeemed by Jesus Christ. Plain and simple. If you believe in Jesus Christ this morning as your Lord and Savior, you have been redeemed. You have been set free. You have been made whole, and you have been released. You have been redeemed. You're not going to be redeemed. You are redeemed. That you might receive, that's good. And that you might receive adoption to sonship. Now, for us, it's a bit of a foreign term. It's kind of a foreign understanding, adoption to sonship. It was actually quite common in this time when Jesus was speaking and Paul was speaking. Adoption was quite prevalent, especially in higher families. So a Roman family, for example, often they wouldn't have kids. They would go out and they would find a kid in the streets, for lack of a better term, who was good-looking or whatever, strong, whatever you want to call it, you know, nice, however you want to speak it, and they would pull them out and they would actually adopt them into their family. And they would take them into their family as their own kids, and then they would have the inheritance of the home. So adoption was quite a common thing in their world. Adoption is common in ours, but not as common as it was for them. So this phrase meant a lot to them, because, and it means now a lot to us, because what Jesus Christ has done is he said, you are actually not just worthy to be redeemed. You're worthy enough to become my family. You're worthy enough to become my family. You're so amazing that I want you in my family. And he gave us rights as sons of God, adopted into the family. And one of those rights as sons, as it says, is God sent his Spirit, his Son, into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. That, of course, is the Holy Spirit who Jesus Christ gave to us. So each of us walk in the Holy Spirit through the Holy Spirit. And I know some of us, we have a hard time with Holy Spirit, and we have a hard time with Jesus, because it's quite an abstract concept. How could this guy, who is God, die on the cross for our sins? The truth is that it takes belief. It takes faith, doesn't it? It takes faith to believe that Jesus Christ cared for you individually, cared for me individually, that he would come and he would die on the cross for our shame so that we could be released. Amen? And then he sent his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to come and live inside of us today so that we could be active in this world. And it's his Spirit inside of us that allows us that relationship and connection with God the Father. I'm backing it up so you guys understand where we're going with this, okay? Remember, how you see other people reveals how you see yourself, okay? This is how Jesus sees you. I'm explaining how Jesus sees you. So how you see others reveals how you see yourself. This is how Jesus sees you. And it says in Romans, it says, now, but apart from the law of righteousness in God that has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify, this righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ. Our salvation, our sanctification is given through Jesus Christ to all who believe. And there is no difference between Jew and Gentile any longer, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption of Jesus Christ. You have been freely redeemed when you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You are freely redeemed. Amen? Amen. So now you are no longer slaves, but God's child. You know, I often think that we misunderstand what it means by slaves. Today we think of what slavery was like 100 years ago. People in shackles, being forced to do things that they was not their will, being forced to no longer be human. That's how often we think of slaves. What still happens in the world today in other countries. Often when the Bible talks about slaves, specifically in the Hebrew culture, they're actually talking about what something is called like a bond servant. And what that means is when someone took out a loan against somebody and they couldn't pay that loan back, the person would go into slavery to the other until the year of Jubilee, and then be released from it, or until they had paid the debt off. So often we think of slaves in our context, which again, over the last 100 to 150 years was not great. This is a little different. This is someone who is working for righteousness versus someone who has received righteousness. And so when he says that you're no longer a slave, but God's child, what he's saying is you no longer have to work off any debt for me. You no longer have to prove yourself for me. You no longer have to make yourself good enough to receive what I want to give you. He said, I'm going to make you my child, and I'm going to give it to you. We're no longer slaves working and fighting and scrounging and in bowing in hopeful humbleness to God. That's not the relationship he wants with you. He wants you sitting at the table with him. He wants you sitting at the table having a conversation with him. He wants you in relationship with him, like you would have with a brother or sister or a father or a mother or your kids. He wants you sitting at the table after dinner, chatting about your day. He doesn't want a slave cleaning up, making sure the house is clean. That's not what he wants. He wants his kids. He wants you, and he wants to give through the Holy Spirit, which he's been given to us, through the Holy Spirit, heirship to his kingdom. Jesus says, pray that the kingdom come to earth as it is in heaven. He wants to give us the kingdom of God here on earth. He's still our king. He's still our God. He is still our leader. He is still the guy that we look to and are so excited about. But he wants to pour out through us so that his power and his presence come in the community. So now you know who you are. Do you feel like you're valuable to Jesus? Yeah, right? You feel like you're valuable. Based on this scripture alone, it's really hard for us to say, no, I don't think I'm not actually that valuable to Jesus Christ. No, you have value to him, not because of anything you've ever done, but simply because you are you. You have value just the way you are. And one of the hardest things I think for us to kind of get over, and this is something that I think that we all do, is when we look at other people and we make judgments on other people, we do it because we haven't allowed the identity of Jesus Christ inside of us to affect that piece of our life. So when we look at someone who maybe isn't serving the right way, we say, oh, they're not doing it the right way. The chances are, probably inside yourself, you have some thing in your heart that would say, like, I don't think I'm doing it right. I don't think I'm doing it right there. I don't think that I'm getting it right. I don't think that I'm doing it right. And it's from that belief that you have inside of you that you project onto other people. How many of us can agree that the people we judge the most are the people who struggle with the exact same problems as us? Right? How many of us judge people based on the problems we have? Because it's easy. Because we know the right answer even though we don't know the right answer. And Jesus wants to reshape us, reshape our minds, and reshape how we think. Because I really feel like if this connected with you in your heart, how you look at others will change. It has to change, doesn't it? Because if Jesus Christ looked at you and I this way, how then can we look at other people in any other form or fashion? If Jesus Christ looks at you and I this way, how can we not share the eyes of Christ and look at those around us with the same love, compassion, desire for redemption, desire for the freedom of bonds that we see around. How could we not? Today is, it's Palm Sunday today. Which for some of us, it means nothing. Because you're like, I don't know what that means. And for some of us, it's an important day. So, Jesus Christ on this day, in the church history, he rode into Jerusalem on this day. And 4 or 5 days later, was crucified on a cross. Now you think Jesus Christ, he gave himself for us. And we know that God demonstrated his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. While we were still his enemy, he died for us. While we were still his combatant, he died for us. And we know as Jesus is riding in, and all these people, they're waving palm branches. And they're putting coats out on the ground. And if you don't know that, I'm telling you, that's what they were doing. That's okay if you don't know. They're putting coats out on the ground and they're putting palm branches on the ground. And they're singing, "Hail the coming King. He's come. He's our Savior. He's here to save us." And they all thought that Jesus was going to physically save them. In other words, oust the invaded army at that time. They thought he was a coming victor, a coming king. They didn't understand or realize that Jesus didn't want to do anything earthly. He wanted to do something eternal. He wanted to do something with their hearts, not something with their bodies. Not something to do with the physical. And so here he is coming in. And people are screaming and yelling, "Hallelujah!" And those same people would then, 4 or 5 days later, yell, "Crucify him! Crucify him! Crucify him!" How do you think Jesus saw those people based on this? How do you think Jesus looked at them? I would say he looked at them with compassion. He looked at them, and you know what I think he saw? He saw their true identity yet to be revealed. He saw their true identity yet to be revealed. How can we look at those around us and see their true identity that is yet to be revealed? That's not an easy answer, is it? And I'll be honest with you, it's something that I have struggled with for many years. And it's something that I constantly have to catch myself at. Because I really believe faith is a journey. Faith is a process. And it's one I want to finish in my lifetime, but I'm just not sure I'm going to do it. I'm not sure I'll complete faith. But I really want to try. Some of our brightest in here, like Les Gerlich, I mean, he would tell you that he's not done yet. And he's much older and wiser than most of us. And I know he knows that there's more for him out there. Because he's told me. And he encourages me to continue to strive after what God has for us. So how do we take this in, and how do we reshape our minds today? I don't know if there's a silver bullet for it. I don't know if there is. I don't know if I can give you a line or a word that's going to make it strike true in your heart. But what I can tell you is that the next person that you kind of look down and start doing that internal conversation about, like, "Oh man, I'm happy I'm not," perhaps change your mindset a little bit and go, "Wait a minute, I remember him saying something about that. How can I look at them differently?" The best thing you can do, if you're comfortable with it, you don't have to do it out loud, you can do it in your mind as well, look at them and say, "Man, God loves that person. God loves that person. Jesus wants to know them. Jesus wants to redeem them. Jesus wants for them to know him." And it doesn't matter what they say. It doesn't matter how they project. It doesn't matter the identity they take on. Because Jesus Christ is the giver of a true identity. Any other identity that someone takes on in their life that isn't Jesus Christ, it doesn't stand up. It doesn't hold logic. It doesn't work. But when you see Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ has given us an identity which says that you are loved, cared about, and you have been redeemed, you have been set free, you are made perfect in the Lord, you're exactly what he wanted. When we accept that into our hearts, we ought to want that for others. We ought to want that for others. And I'll tell you this. In a world that struggles with identity, the best thing we can do is look at people and start telling them who Jesus says they are. It's not condemning. Jesus says, you're perfect. You could be perfect. You're loved. You're cared about. You have inherent value, not because of anything you've done. Because you're you, you have value. You have value. You have value to me. When we look at people around us, the best thing we can do is see value in them. See someone to be redeemed. Someone to be transformed into the likeness of God. Not because of what they want you to see, but because Jesus Christ loved them first. And because Jesus Christ loved you first. I'm going to invite the worship team up this morning. And as they come up, I'm going to leave you with this. I'm going to leave you with this. How you see others reveals how you view yourself. Do you believe you're redeemed? Do you believe you're redeemed? Do you believe Jesus Christ loves you? Do you believe that he died for you? Do you believe that he died for you before you ever believed in him? Look at other people the same way. And allow your heart to change, to welcome them in. The best thing we can do, the best thing we can do is invite somebody in. Invite them to come sit beside you. You come to the 9 o'clock service, you got lots of room. Invite them to come sit with you. They're your neighbors, your coworkers, your friends, your brothers, your sisters, your husbands, your wives, your family, your kids. Invite them to come sit with you. See value in them, where no one else would see value. Not because they deserve it, because Jesus says they are valuable. Amen? Amen.